All right, we are having the Lord's Supper together today, so that means I'm going to be talking really fast. So make sure we get out of here at a decent hour. I'm going to speed up my English. We come today to week four in our church strategy. So if you're visiting with us, we've just been going each week through a church strategy, trying to look at where we need to go. It's been called lengthen and strengthen. So we have five cords that we want to lengthen, five areas of ministry that we need to stretch out or we need to grow in or do more in. So we talked about number one, which is prayer. Talked about number two, which is proclaiming the gospel. Number three, parents and children. And today, number four, which is planting, multiplying small groups. So this could be a series in and of itself. I used to be a pastor for small groups. So hold on to your seatbelt. It's going to be like a minibus ride to Mongkok. It's going to be fast and furious. So you may want to take some notes. I sent out some slides and some things to everybody on WhatsApp. If you want those, you can have them. It may be helpful for you to go over and look at and just go, I'm not sure if I heard him right. Talk more about that. Let's pray together. Lord, you know that I am totally unable to motivate a single person. And I am totally unable to help these passages of Scripture jump off the page and into someone's heart and mind and illuminate. I'm unable to do that. So I ask for your help through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So it's our hope and our vision that as a church we will continually behold God, we will belong to one another by building each other up, and that we will be sent as His witnesses. Those are three things, the vision: to behold God, to belong to one another, and then to be sent as His witnesses. Well, today is that middle one, for sure. How can we belong to one another in a meaningful way? How can we belong to one another in such a way that we're making disciples? So our Sunday gatherings here are a great joy to me. They're something that I truly love. I can't wait to be here on Sundays as we gather together. But can we really go deep here only? Can we accomplish the one another passages all in the Bible? Can we accomplish those one another passages in this room from 11 to 12-ish? We can't really do that. So that means outside of this time on Sunday, we must have some other times, which I know most of you do, some other times when we are really doing what the Lord commanded us to do, which is to one another. So Romans chapter 12, verse 10, I'm going to go through some of these. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Romans 15:14, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 5:19, speaking. We are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So some of you taking pictures, just listen if you want to. I've got all of this. I'll be glad to send it to you on WhatsApp or email as a PDF. I have the whole list of all of the one another's in the Bible to give you, okay? Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, which is what we want to do. We want to belong to the body in such a way that we are building other people up. As I said, if you're a part of the body, but you're really not involved in building other people up, that's not what God wants. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to one another. that one may be difficult. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. That's tough, isn't it? 1 Peter 5:5, you younger men likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Then, that's not all of them, by the way. There's like 53 in the Bible. But we have these verses that Leha and Amber read. I want to focus on these verses. Hebrews 3:12. Hebrews 3:12 through 14. I want you to notice this very carefully. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. None of us want that. None of us want to have an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Notice in this, the word but there, this contrast, it's transition. So if you don't want to have an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the Lord, then what's the remedy for that? One another. Being involved in Christians' lives in such a way that people are exhorting you and encouraging you. Hebrews 10:23, which we read, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That's what we want. We want this confession of our hope in Jesus Christ. We want to hold fast to that, hold tight to that without wavering until we die. For he who has promised is faithful. Now, how are we going to do that? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, means the day of Christ, not Sunday, drawing near. By the way, the word there, stir up one another, they don't know how to translate it a lot of times. Maybe in your version, maybe King James, I think it said spur one another on. Stir up one another is the word there where we get the word peroxide. It means an acid. It means to agitate. So how do you like those kind of relationships in the body of Christ where you're living so close with people that people are agitating you on to love and good works? I hope that you've had some of those relationships in your life. I hope that you have some of those now where you're like, man, I really don't like that person sometime, but I know that's really what I needed, you know, that irritation or stirring or spurring like a horse, the old translations say. So God has provided for us a way to stay on the path. God has provided for us a remedy from having an unbelieving heart. He has provided for us a protection from falling into sin. And what is it? It's one another. It's one another. John Piper said once, sanctification is a community project. Sanctification is a community project. So if you want to be holy, if you want to grow, if you want to truly know God, if you want to truly belong to the body of Christ in a deep way, then we have to have some other kinds of relationships outside of this large group on Sunday morning. We need to have small groups meeting together. That's the place where we one another. So, what I am going to do in the rest of our time together is I'm going to lay out for you a method. Last week I said I don't have any methods for you, parents and children. We just wanted to talk about that last week. This week we do have a method. This week I do want to lay out for you and propose to you a kind of small group, maybe some of you have never been a part of in your entire life. And it's a kind of group that I've been a part of off and on since I was 16 years old. So when I was 16 years old, me and some other guys got together on Wednesday night, and we met after our youth group time in my friend's house, and we asked each other hard questions. And I don't know where I would be if I didn't have those guys in my life at that point asking me hard questions. Questions about girls, questions about relationships, questions about our faith, all of these things. And by the way, those guys today are still very, very good friends of mine. So that was a long time ago. Having those kind of relationships over a long period of time, I will say this, listen closely. I know of no other type of group or relationships that has helped me more than that kind of group. And these groups are called life transformation groups. Life transformation groups. Now, you can call them whatever you want to. I take this from a guy named Neil Cole, 1999, when I started doing these kind of groups from meeting together with him. Life transformation groups. So what is a life transformation group? What makes it different from a Bible study? What makes it different from just maybe a general small group called an LTG or a life transformation group? It is made up of 2 to 3 people, okay? 2 to 3 people, all the same gender, who meet weekly for spiritual growth in their lives. Okay, let me say that again. A life transformation group is made up of a group of 2 or 3 people, same gender, who meet weekly for spiritual growth. So that's what a life transformation group is. Who should be in a life transformation group? It's not for everybody. It should be for everybody, but there might be people who would just say, this is not for me. So who should be in a life transformation group? Who should start one or be in one? There are two qualifications. Two qualifications. Number one, a desperate need for Jesus. A desperate need for Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 5 says this, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So that is qualification number one, a desperate need for Jesus Christ. And why do we say that? Because you can be a Christian for 50 years and still have a desperate need for Jesus Christ. You can be a Christian for 20 years and have a desperate need for Jesus Christ. I desperately need Jesus Christ. I have not gotten beyond that, and I hope I never do. But where someone might say, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay with what I have. I don't really need this kind of group. Sunday is enough for me, or maybe my Sunday school class is enough for me. I'm okay where I am. Well, if you desperately need Jesus Christ, then this would be for you. Number two is faithfulness to the process itself. There is a process to a life transformation group. It's not just, let me say this very carefully, it's not just make it whatever you want to make it. There is a specific thing that it needs to be in order to make it work well. And it's not just, oh, we'll just meet together and make it. That will just become maybe just a small group or some friends getting together. But a life transformation group has a multiplication element to it. So 2 Peter 2:2 says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. So let me say this. We should be Christians who are able to disciple someone else. We should not always be in a cycle of learning, 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 equipping, 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 equipping. for 30 years or 20 years or more and then never making a disciple. That's not God's design for us. We should be able to attend enough Bible studies to where we are then trained up enough to go and teach others. Now, we don't ever get beyond Bible study, but I'm saying if we're not careful, sometimes we can get in a cycle where I just go to Bible studies and go to Bible studies and never make disciples. So these two criteria, a desperate need for Jesus Christ and a commitment and faithfulness to the process, are very important. So if you're desperate and you're hungry for Jesus and you want to grow and know Him more and walk in holiness, this is for you. Because some of you may be at the point where in your life you feel like, I feel like I'm just not going any more. I feel like I'm here, but I've not gotten over the hump. Well, I would recommend this to you. So, who should be in an LTG? People who are desperate for Jesus and committed to the process. What is an LTG? It's a group of 2 to 3 people, all the same gender, who meet weekly for spiritual growth and development. Now, what do we do in a life transformation group? What do we do in a life transformation group? There are 3 essential disciplines in a life transformation group, an LTG. What are they? Number 1, a steady diet of Scripture. I wouldn't even say a steady diet. It's more like massive consumption. I won't tell you how many chapters. I'll save that for later so that I don't scare you off. But a steady diet of Scripture. Number 2, accountability and confession of sin. Accountability with other people. People asking you questions, or you asking yourself hard questions in the presence of other people and being open and transparent with them. So a steady diet of Scripture, accountability and confession of sin, and then number 3, prayer for others who need Christ. Now the most important element of this is the steady diet of Scripture. The power of a life transformation group lies in the unleashing of God's Word into the lives of people. Let me say that again. The power of a life transformation group is in the unleashing of God's Word into the lives of people. So the Lord made it very clear that His Word is like seed. His Word is like seed. And when you plant seeds, things grow. I was in an LTG, we first got married with a guy. And he said to me, it clicked when we started reading so much Scripture. It clicked for him and he said, you know what? I just realized I have never grown as a Christian because I wasn't digesting seed. So the power of the system is in reading the Word of God. Number 2, accountability. The LTG provides a wonderful place in which you are to be accountable to other people for your behavior, to where you can say, hey, every week, ask me these hard questions. Ask me how I'm doing. Here are some of the questions that I would recommend. Of course, I will give them to you later. Did you behold God this week and finish your Bible reading? Did you hear from the Lord, and what are you going to do about that? Number 2, have you belonged to the body this week and sought to use your gifts to build others up? Or how and where are you being sent as a witness to Jesus Christ in your words and actions? Have you lacked any integrity in your financial dealings this week or coveted something that does not belong to you? Have you been exposed to sexually alluring material or allowed your mind to entertain inappropriate thoughts about another person this week? Have you been honoring, understanding, and generous in your relationships this week? Have you damaged another person by your words, either behind their back or face to face? Have you given in this week to any addictive behavior? Have you continued to remain angry towards another person, or have you secretly wished for another person's misfortune so that you might excel. Have you been completely honest with me? And then usually in the LTGs, there's a blank question for you to fill in whatever you want. Now, the questions are able to adjust them to your needs, okay? We'll talk more about that in our training time. Number three, prayer. So number one, a steady dose of Scripture. Number two, accountability and confession. Number three, prayer. So each person, let's say there are three people. Let's say Ralph and Sam and I are in an LTG, okay? So each morning or each evening, whenever we read our Bible's passage together, I mean, we're reading it on our own, Sam gives two names of people that he wants to pray for that they'll come to Christ. I give two names. Ralph gives two names. And so each time we read our Bible together, we spend time with God, I pray for all six of those people. And Sam would pray for all six of those people. And Ralph would pray for all six of those people. That means six people who don't know Jesus are getting prayed for every day. That's powerful. With this system, the person who is listed for strategic prayer is prayed for many, many times, and people will come to faith. Where do LTGs meet? Where do they meet? Absolutely anywhere. Absolutely anywhere. So we're scattered all over this city in various places around all of Hong Kong. We're scattered around. It doesn't matter. We don't have to come to this place to grow the kingdom of God. It happens wherever you are. So instead of trying to do a small group at UST, do one at Science Park, or do one in TKO, or do one in, you know, wherever you live. It can meet in any coffee shop, on the park, it can meet anywhere whatsoever. So I want to summarize. Next slide. Some of these places. No, those aren't my favorite. Go back. Those aren't my favorite places. It's just some places that came to my mind. Let's summarize, okay? LTGs, number one, they meet once a week for approximately an hour or however long you want to meet. LTGs are groups of 2 to 3 people. Here's the catch. If you add a fourth person and that person is faithful to the process for a couple of weeks, you then multiply. So let's say Elliot and myself and Yibin, we met together and then Sam said he wanted to come and be a part of that. Well, after a couple of weeks of us meeting together, then Sam and I would start our own group. And Elliot and Abby would start their own group. And they would be looking for a third person to join their group. And the multiplication continues of making disciples. The groups are not mixed gender, but they're the same gender. You do not need to spend accountability with someone of the opposite sex like that. It needs to be same sex. There is no curriculum, there is no workbook, and there is no training involved, very little. There's no leader needed in the group. Only three tasks are to be accomplished in an LTG: a steady diet of Scripture, accountability and confession of sin, and prayer for others who don't know Jesus Christ. So, LTG training will take place next Sunday. Next Sunday during lunch, okay? So next Sunday in LG7, I want you to just grab your food if you're interested. If you're interested in knowing more details, then grab your food. I will have a spot away, kind of out of the way, a little quieter, where we will have a lunch gathering together where I will explain to you more about, like, okay, how much Bible reading should be done. How to alter the accountability questions, how to multiply your group, and when should a non-Christian ever be a part of this? Those kinds of things. So next Sunday, grab your food, grab a bag of McDonald's, Gai Pai, whatever, and meet me over at a place, okay? So church, this is a recommendation that we lengthen our cords, that we lengthen the cord of our ministry that will build up the body of Christ, but also reach other people as we multiply small groups. We start small groups. You don't have to be a great leader. This doesn't need you to be a Bible whiz. This just needs you to be willing to be committed to the process of reading your Bible, holding each other accountable, and praying for lost people. This is the vehicle and the method by which we can make disciples in our church and one another. So in closing, I want to read these verses again. Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So you see the remedy. The remedy is one another. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ drawing near. Let's pray together. So, Almighty God, I pray that you would mobilize us. I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would calm every heart that might be fearful of doing something like this. And I pray that you would strengthen your church, that we might be obedient to your commands to one another, that we might pray for one another, that we might confess our sins to one another, that we might build one another up, and that we might read the Word of God together. Lord, accomplish your purposes. Accomplish your purposes. Not my purposes, but accomplish your purposes in our lives. We pray in Christ's name.